Today's message is called Aaron's Blessing.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Thank you, Lord, for your Word today. Would you pray together with me? Lord, we thank you that we can call upon you always, and you always answer. Lord, last week we talked about needing help from you, and we thank you that you give that when we ask. And today we're asking that you would just be with us as we get into your word today, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen and amen. Praise God. All right, this morning I have a message that the Lord has laid upon my heart. And God's been giving us his heart and who he is and our need to call upon him. And so this morning, this message comes out of the book of Numbers, and some of you may recognize it. Would you go with me over to Numbers, the book of Numbers here this morning? When you get there, I want you to turn back to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless you. I love that. And the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. I love that. Now would you turn over with me to the book of Psalms? And we were there last week in Psalm 121, and we kind of covered the first half of Psalm 121. I'm going to read the second half of that. In Psalm 121, verses 5 through 8, The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day or the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going in and your coming out from this time forth and even forevermore. Somebody say amen to the Lord's word here this morning. God bless your word here this morning. So, holding your finger back there in Numbers, today's message is called Aaron's Blessing. And we're not talking about Pastor Aaron's blessing. He would accept it, but the Aaron's blessing, this is the blessing that God spoke to Moses, and he said, tell Aaron to speak to the people this way. And I want to talk about that. We sing this song. How many of you heard that song? The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you. And every Wednesday night, for those of you that are with us on Wednesday night, I generally give the blessing out to those that were online on Wednesday night. And I want to talk about this morning because this is God's heart, and I want to break down this morning what this means. I like to go into detail, so it might be more of a teaching today, but sometimes you hear these things and we don't quite understand what it means by all those things that God is saying. Because this is God's heart towards his people. God promises to do these things, and guess what? Are those promises that he told Aaron still good for us today? They actually are, because we have now become, if you have been born again, you've given your life to Jesus, you have become spiritual Israel. And God's promises apply to us today. But we have to be careful to balance these promises with what the Apostle Paul calls the whole counsel of God's Word. In other words, we have the promises of God, but we must balance those promises with what else God says. Deuteronomy, hold your finger there in Numbers because we'll come back to that again. But in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses speaking in chapter 28, and most of you have heard some of these words as well. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, this week, as we were driving, you know, one of the blessings that we have around here, I think, is lakes are close for most of us fishermen. We can go, but it sometimes takes an hour and a half to 2 hours to get where we're going in California. Especially when you're sitting in traffic of five lanes that are filled up with cars. How many of you are glad you live here, right? And, but as I was talking to, my brother Ken, we were talking about this and how the world has gone astray, especially in the last 10, 15 years as we've seen such a decline that's taken place. And, you know, the question was, why is this happening? And it is because of these same promises that God gave. He said, if you will hearken to my voice, I will bless you. I will pour out my heart upon you. But if you will not, all these curses shall come upon you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed in the field. Cursed shall your basket and your store be. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, the flocks and your sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou come in, and cursed shall thou be when you go out. He also talks about later in here, as far as instead of being the head, you will become what? The tail. And any nation that refuses to hearken to the voice of God, these things will begin to happen. And where do we see our United States right now? We see that as the tail right now happening. And God really is looking for a people to come to Him and to repent, because it is not God's desire to give His people the cursings. Amen? It is not. We have to, again, balance this out, because we cannot just expect the blessings of God without loving our God and doing something about it. How many of you know that love is an action? We can't just say that we love someone with no action involved there. And so, this morning I want to break this down, keeping that in mind, in what this blessing really means. And I hope that it opens our eyes here this morning to what God is wanting for us today. Amen? All right. This morning, let's look back there again in Numbers chapter 6, where we started out from. God told Moses, tell Aaron, this is how I want you to bless these children. The very first thing in that is that the Lord bless you. And I'm going to be looking at some Hebrew words here. The Lord bless you. There are actually six things of blessings that God wants to give here in this. The Lord bless you. How many of you have ever used that word and said, bless your little heart? Well, in this particular Hebrew word here, the Lord bless you, is a Hebrew word called barak. Barak. And that word barak means, listen to this, barak means to adore or adore on bended knee. Interesting, isn't it? The Lord bless you, or the Lord adore you. The Lord adore you as if on bended knee. Now, when we think about the Lord, we generally think of us being the ones that are doing what? The bending of the knee and adoring the Lord. But in this particular phrasing, This is the Lord bless you. Wow, think about that. About how much that God actually loves us. That He, in essence, would adore us. That's a strange concept, isn't it? Because how do we see ourselves? For most of us, we see ourselves, except for the poster child John back there, right? We see ourselves really as nothing. Not me, right? Why would the Lord adore me? And this is an interesting concept here because the Lord bless you or adore you when we think about how much God wants to shower His favor on us. Did you know that? God wants that so much for us. And most of the time the world looks at it as, well, it's the big man in the sky waiting for me to make a mistake and then pounce on me. That's not the God that we serve. That's not who He is. I want you to look at this because we're just going to break this down. 1 John chapter 3. I mentioned John earlier, but I want you to go to 1 John chapter 3. And verse 1 says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure." Beloved, what kind of love is it that God would make you and I His sons and daughters? Think about that. How much love does God have for you, John, that He would do that for us? How much love does that take, Tucker? A good little bit, right? Because if we look at ourselves, we know who we are. And we know what we have done. We know what we have thought and the thoughts that have run through our minds. And yet, God says, "I love you." The Lord adore you. He desires sons and daughters. He loves us so much. Turn with me now to Psalm 139. How much does God love us? How much? Well, we have an indication in Psalm 139 here. Psalm 139, verse 17. How much? How precious also, verse 17, are your thoughts unto me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Sand. How many of you have been to the beach? How many of you love the beach? How many of you don't love the beach? All the guys, you know, just raising a hand. Interesting. Oh, you, Sheila's one, all right? But one thing that I always try to keep in mind, though I am not a beach person, I go with Laura just to be with Laura because I adore her and I love her. It's getting pretty good in here, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But I think about that almost every time that I get in that sand. And every time when I go back out of the sand and I have sand stuck all over me, right? How much does God think about us? How much does He love us? According to this, He loves us more than the sand. And how much sand is there? How many thoughts does He think about us? We cannot count them. That is the love of God. May the Lord love you. May the Lord constantly think about you. May the Lord adore you. That's the love of God when He's talking about that. May the Lord bless you. That blows my mind that God would think about each and every one of us that many times. That's how much we're on His heart. See, we can't fathom that because most of us can't think about more than one or two people at the same time. But God does. It's awesome. It's awesome, the things of God. Now, I could continue on that because there's thousands of scripture references about how much God cares about us. But I'm going to move on to the next one. He says, may the Lord keep you. So what does that mean? It is a Hebrew word, shamar. Shamar. May the Lord shamar you. Meaning this, may the Lord, and here's the actual Hebrew terminology of it, put a hedge of thorns around you to protect you. How many of you ever heard that people pray in the old times, they say, Lord, put a hedge of protection about them. Some of our young people, we've never heard that, but in the old days of Pentecost, that was something that was prayed so often. Lord, put a hedge of protection about them as they go into this kind of territory. One of the things that if you read in your bulletins this week, Pastor Joseph is having their annual conference, but this year it is the 70th year for his ministry that his father started. They are going out to the streets of India and holding a huge crusade in the midst of a Hindu nation that hates Christians. Do they need this keeping? Yes, they do. And that's why we're asking all of us to pray for that, because he's a part of this ministry in this church, that God would put that hedge of thorns. What was the whole idea of a hedge of thorns? So that if a predator came around, that they would get stuck on those thorns and it would hurt. How many of you have had a thorn in you? And it doesn't feel good. How many of you ever had a splinter in you? Yeah? Splinters don't feel good. Especially when they get underneath your fingernails, right? Don't feel good. This hedge of a thorn protection is designed to protect us, to guard us, and to attend to us. So when God said, say this to the people, I am looking for a hedge of protection around my people, God said. So when we say, may the Lord keep you, that means that He is going to watch over you. How many of you would say, I don't need God watching over me? We all need that protection of God. In every place that we go, that the protection of God is there. Because if you have ever been that close to dying in an accident or in anything that has happened to you, do you think it was you were the one that you just got lucky? If you notice, I don't use the word lucky. Christians don't get lucky. As a matter of fact, I think the root word of that, L-U-C, comes from Lucifer. Because God says that the steps of a good man, a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. And He has put His hedge of protection about us. There is nothing luck about the things that happen to us. May the Lord keep you. Remember, although we are told to put on our spiritual armor in the book of Ephesians, you know, that breastplate of righteousness and all those things that God has given to us to put on, although we put that on, it is God who guards us and keeps us from the satanic things that come against you. So these things that come close to us, they may come close to you, but the hedge of protection, do you realize that God has said to Satan on behalf of you, his child, you can only come this far. See, we don't realize that we're so short-sighted. All we see is here what's around us. But in the spiritual world, God has put a hedge of protection about us and said, you can only come this far. Because what is the devil's desire? To kill, steal, and destroy, right? But Jesus said, I give you life, I give you the hedge about you. And so when we say the Lord keep you, I want you to pay particular attention that it is God that is keeping that around you. There's a lot of people that seem to think, well, it's just me, you know. I'm always watching out behind me. I'm always, you know, watching my back. You're not watching anything. God is your hedge. God is your protection. He's the one that brings that. Psalm 91. If you jump back just a little bit in Psalm 91 here, verses 9 through 15. Psalm 91. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all of your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show them my salvation. Who puts the hedge about you? Who gives the angels charge concerning you? And there's some people that have really said, I've never had an angel protect me. You don't know what God has done. You don't know what He has set about you to keep you. And it is up to us to thank God on a daily basis for putting His hedge about us, folks. Amen? And never ever think that it is you that's doing it. Zechariah, we hear this verse in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Please do not think that you are in charge of your life. If you are a believer in Christ, you are operating according to the hedge that is about you. Because if God took the hedge out from around you, you would be no longer. Because Satan hates you as a believer. He doesn't want you around. He doesn't want you shedding light in a dark world. It is God who hedges you and keeps that protection about you. So when the Lord says, may the Lord keep you, that's what He's talking about here. Let's move on here. I love this because I love to know exactly what God says. Number three, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. Now what does that mean, the Lord make His face to shine upon you? Well, the word here for shine is ore, O-R-E, ore, and it means to make, to illuminate, to show it, or to set it on fire. Okay, what does that mean? May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord, here's really what it means, show you what is going on and open it up to your understanding. That's what the Lord's face shining on you means. It is going to open up your understanding. Do you realize now that there's a world of people that don't know Jesus and things are going on and they don't have a clue what's going on? And sometimes people, Christians, say to me, how is it possible that these folks cannot see that this is wrong? How can they not see it? Because they are blinded and God has not made His face to shine or illuminate for understanding to take place. So we shouldn't be saying, you know, I hate those people. Why can't they get it? Why can't they get it? Why can't they get it? They can't get it because they can't see it. They really can't see it. It's God who opens our eyes to see our truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul recognized this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He said, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of them which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you means the Lord's opened up your understanding. Unless the Lord opens up your understanding of this thing right here, are you going to be able to get it? You can't get it. That's why you need this blessing, that the Lord opens up your eyes, opens up your spiritual eyes so you can see it. We were out Friday, I believe it was, and Ken kept saying, here we were fishing for fish that were bedding, looking for those that were bedding, and he kept saying, look, right there, you see it? You see it? And I was like, no, I don't see it. I don't see it. It's the same thing with those that don't know Christ. How can this Word of God make any sense to them without God illuminating it? And with God showing it to us? And you and I, everything that we know about this Word of God, it didn't come from us. We didn't just read and say, Marty, I'm so smart I can read this and I can understand every word of it. Maybe you are, Marty. But not me. It's taken God to be able to open this up to me and show this to me. That's the illumination, and I need the Lord's face to shine upon me. Did you know you can't even get saved without the Lord shining His face on this? You can't even understand Jesus coming and dying for you without that. John chapter 6, verse 44, John talked about that because he tells us that unless the Father Himself is the one that shows us this, we can't even come to Christ. Amen? We can't do it. The Lord has to open it up to us. Number four, the Lord be gracious to you. And this is one that I particularly love. The word here is kanon. And it means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, to show mercy or to have pity on. It's all kind of wrapped up in one, but look at this. May the Lord, again, this is almost blowing our minds here. May the Lord bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. Who is the Lord compared to us? But yet the Lord, in His kindness, stoops or bends to show favor on us. How many of us have had the favor of God? Listen, I have had God's favor. Laura has it more than any of us in the house, right? No. You know what? If we will begin to recognize and always remember, may the Lord be gracious to you, that's for all of us. God wants to do that, And that's an amazing thing to me that he actually would do that and show grace unto us. For by grace are you saved, right? God shows us favor so many ways. And you guys all know I've been talking about this, and I just have to show you this, because how many of you know that I am not a great fisherman? John raised his hands. Marty raised his hands. Okay? The rest of you don't know me as well, but there are a lot of people that really know how to fish better than me. But I had Brother Rick put this picture in there because this picture, you better wake Levi up for that. Okay? Wake up, buddy. I'm about ready to come wake you up myself, all right? This is what I caught on Friday. This is a 14-pound striper. And I'm telling you what, this fish took me for a ride on Friday. But I have to tell you that this was the grace of God. This is the favor that God gave to me on Friday. And you can turn the lights back on here again, because I want to just tell you that I am not that good, all right? But God gave me a grace and gave me a gift and favor to be able to catch this monster. And again, this thing took me for a ride. He took off clear across the lake, and we actually had to follow him. And so Ken, I laugh. Ken said, "You better show the church that." But I wanted to tie it in here because I am not bragging about this fish. I am telling you this is the favor of God that God gives us. And you can turn that picture off now. But how many of you have had favor in whatever it was that you were attempting to do? Come on now. This is God that gives you that favor. Whether it's playing basketball, whether it's fishing, whether it's shopping. Lord, you have favor shopping.
Amen. Yes, I do.
All the time. Okay? Or whether it's on your job. You can ask and believe God for this because you say, "This is what God told Moses to say to me. May the Lord be gracious to you to give me a favor beyond what this world can give me." That Hebrew word, it's actually this kanon. It's a Hebrew word picture of two parties, one who has a marvelous gift and one who is in serious need of that gift. One who has the gift and one who's in serious need of the gift. And the one who has it bows down and says, "Here you go." That's what God does for His people. We need that favor. Amen? We need that favor. And if we will give God the praise for it, instead of taking it ourselves, you're going to see more favor. You're going to see more grace coming on. But when you begin to say, "Hey, you know what? Look at me. Look at what I did. Man, I'm telling you, I am good." That favor immediately begins to dry up. Immediately. Because you begin to steal the grace of God. And God says, "Don't do that. Don't steal." That is God's blessings to us today. Hallelujah. Revelation 21. Jump over there real quick when it talks about this grace of God. May the Lord be gracious to you. Revelation 21. "And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself shall be with them. For He will be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither will be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And He that sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I will make all things new.' And He said to me, 'Write these things, because they are faithful and true. I am the Alpha and Omega. It is done, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. How many of you know that's grace? How many of you know that us going to that place where there will be no more sorrow, no more tears? How many of you know that we're actually going to have a brand new body? How many of you are looking forward to that? Yes, a new body, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more people dying around us. That's the grace of God. Number five, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Now, normally, the one doing the asking, for an example, if you are coming to a king and you are wanting something from him, you're going to get on your knees and you're going to look up, right? Look up to the one that you're expecting something from. Again, here, King Jesus is looking up to his children because he desires to be pleased in what they are doing and loving him. Do you know God wants to be pleased with you? Do you know that? He wants to show his favor upon you. I'm going to look at just a couple scriptures. Genesis chapter 6. Back in Genesis chapter 6, and we'll get there. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Sad situation for the world. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because Noah's heart was set on serving God. And so we see Noah as the one that found favor. There are others, but how about Abraham? Turn over to Isaiah 41. And this is spoken in the book of Isaiah regarding Abraham. Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto you, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with thee. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Abraham was called what? A friend of God. How many of you would say that God lifted up his countenance towards Abraham and towards Noah? God is looking for a people that will love him. Will you love him? Will you serve him? May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And the very last one, may the Lord give you his peace. How many of you think you might know the Hebrew word for peace? Come on, say it out. Shalom. May the Lord give you his shalom. Shalom means well, happy, completion, or wholeness. May the Lord give you a wholeness. May the Lord give you a completion. You know how many people today don't have a clue what life is about? They don't know why they're here. They don't know what's even the purpose of life. They do not have the shalom. They do not have the why of what God has put us here for. And God is telling us, I want to give you that completion. I want to give you that wholeness so you know who you are and why you're here. How many of you know why you're here on this earth? Anybody else? All of us as believers need to have our hands up in the air. May the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord give you His blessing. Come on in, young man. Have a seat. We're talking about the blessing of the Lord. We're talking about here the peace of God. If you do not have the peace of God in your life, you do not know what life is about. You have to know the power of God and the peace of God. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus being in our lives, we cannot have the shalom. We cannot have the peace. We cannot have the completion. Cannot have the wholeness without Jesus being in our lives. By whom also we have access by faith to this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience, patient experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, did you notice there that he talks about tribulation? We're going to have trouble in this life because of sin coming into the world. Peace, though, that passes all understanding is what God wants to give us. I would love to be able to tell all of our young people here, our teenagers, you're never going to have any trouble in your life. Never, ever. Things are going to be great for you. I'd love to be able to tell you that, but that's not going to happen. There are things that will take place in your life. That will be trials, that will be tribulation times, there will be hurtful times. But when Aaron said, may the Lord give you His peace, I think that's going to sum it all up, that this peace will cover all of those times. Because it is something where you can say, though I am going through this, I know in whom I have believed. I know that my God is able to keep me through all of these things that are happening in my life. I know that God will pull me through each one of these. And some people like to, you know, tell me that they really don't know who I am. They say, well, life is just so simple and so easy for you as a pastor. You don't know anything about my life. You don't know anything about the hurts and the things that I've been through in my life. And my answer to that is, you don't know what I have been through and what God has brought me through. And I can think of so many dark times in my life. Again, where it seemed like the enemy was encroaching in, and that on every side seemed to be dark. But one thing that I remember during those times is that God said, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord put that hedge about me where the devil and that darkness cannot come near me any further than God would allow. And then through the trials, may the Lord give you His peace, knowing that you are in the palm of Almighty God's hand, makes the difference. Makes the difference. You know why people commit suicide? Because there's no hope. They see no hope. They see nothing that is available to them. But through the trials, when you hold on to this Aaronic promise, this promise that Aaron gave, God comes through. And He will do all of these things that He said that He would do. In this world you'll have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world and I have given you all of these blessings. He desires for us to walk in these blessings. But if we don't, and if we choose not to, the only thing that's available for us is the curses. But I don't know about you. How many of you would say, I want the blessings of God upon my life? I want the blessings. But it only comes through knowing Christ. Only comes by saying, Jesus, I need you. Father, this morning I thank you and I praise you for your word. I thank you that this word is what sets us free. And I thank you, Lord, that you are working in our lives and that you desire for us to live for you. And I'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen and amen this morning.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.